Support for Here and Now comes from BetterHelp, committed to supporting mental health through therapy. Clients are matched with one of 25,000 therapists and can communicate via video, chat, or phone at betterhelp.com/public.
We're going to spend a few minutes now learning about the country's first and only domestic abuse hotline for abusers. It's getting hundreds of calls, many from out of state, much needed when you look at the stats. Every year, about 10 million Americans experience domestic violence. That's nearly 20 people a minute being physically abused by intimate partners, according to the National Coalition Against Domestic Violence. Well, therapist and domestic violence survivor Jack Patrici says she co-created the hotline to try to reduce those bleak numbers. The hotline's called A Call for Change. It's available 12 hours a day, 10 a.m. to 10 p.m. Eastern Time, with counselors taking calls in different languages, mostly men, but women as well. Let's give the number out, 877-898-3411. We'll also have it at hereandnow.org as we welcome Jack Patrici. Hi.
Good to be here. Thanks so much for having us.
Nice to have you. And Michelle Harris, a coordinator at A Call for Change and a call taker out on the front lines. Michelle, welcome to you as well.
Thank you very much. Thank you for having us.
And Jack, you looked to other countries, the UK, Colombia, when you designed this. But we understand from reporting in the Boston Globe, people here said, oh, you'll never get any callers. This isn't going to work. What were their concerns?
Yeah, that's right. In fact, 25 years ago, I think I vociferously argued against a line like this, but I have more experience in a different way to look at those thoughts. First, they thought no one would call. No one would really listen or engage in the calls if they did call. Or that they might call in a sadistic way and harm their partner while the call was happening. Mm. Or that responders would collude, go along with what they were saying. And maybe even that people would call, feel that they've been somehow forgiven, and then hang up and then go keep harming unchanged.
Well, and, you know, just give us the thumbnail. We're going to talk to Michelle, but has that happened?
No, it's not what's happening at all. We really needed to do this in this country. We needed to stop asking survivors to do all the work. When there's domestic violence, our solutions understandably support survivors. They're like, oh, maybe options for restraining orders or shelters. So we're thinking, why don't we stop or interrupt intimate partner violence by talking to and working with the people causing harm? Yeah. But how do we interrupt dominance values and habits without replicating them ourselves? Because you can't punish people into stopping punishing others. You can't control people into stop controlling others. So would they call? Yes. We expected 50 calls in the first year. We got 250 calls. We weren't sure how long people would talk. We ended up having to put a limit on the time people call, because they'll talk easily an hour or an hour and a half. And within a week, we had calls from all over the country. We've had calls from Zimbabwe and France. Wow. So it really speaks to the unmet need.
Well, I want to bring in Michelle. You know, I hear that the average call is an hour. What are people saying?
They're saying a lot of different things. You know, some folks call in because they recognize the harm that they have done has a deep impact on their spouse, on their family, and on their community. And so they're looking for a different way to be and a way to be safe. Others are calling because they've been referred in by professionals, counselors, and we will talk to them around, you know, how to become safe, how to move towards being safe in their intimate relationships. And those calls can be long. We usually have them at about an hour, and we'll always invite them to call back so that they can continue the process of becoming safe.
But Michelle, do you have the sense that you are, on occasion, speaking to someone who you are keeping them from abusing in that moment?
The hope is that during these conversations in which we hold their impact of their harm in the forefront of the conversation, it is our mission to make them think about the next interaction that they have with their partner or with their family member in a way that is safe. Yeah. And so in that way, yes, because a lot of these phone calls have folks towards the end of the call saying, wow, I'm going to think about what you said. It's not something I've heard before, and it's making me really think.
Yeah, you want them thinking instead of acting. Michelle, we understand you put up a billboard at one point over a highway, and boom, the calls came in?
Yes, we've had billboards up since around 2021, and we have seen a big influx in our call volume.
Yeah, and partly because...
it's been really exciting for us.
Yeah, and I'm reading that that might in part be because they, the potential abusers, are alone in their car, and they can call you, as opposed to maybe when they're with family.
That's right.
Correct.
Like I took a call where someone said, look, I just saw your billboard, I pulled over, and I think it's me.
Yeah.
And I don't want to go into my apartment without changing up what I normally do.
Yeah. And Jack, we're back with you, one of the co-creators. The one question we're asked about this is, you know, these are not victims. These are perpetrators or potential perpetrators. Obviously, though, you have to, as we just heard from Michelle, you have to be empathic. You have to make them feel comfortable. But it is anonymous. How do you handle that? You may be hearing that someone else's life is in danger, but you don't even know who they are, or that somebody has already been hurt, and maybe your caller has already broken the law. What do you do about that?
So most of the interventions in the U.S. are emergency-based. It's 911. It's called the fire department. Call the police. Call the hospital. The EMTs. It's all happening now. Our calls are before calls and after calls. So the responders who answer the calls are really trained to get into what we call their field of peace, create the conditions in which the person can see themselves and their patterns, use strategies, skills, and interrupters to interrupt. And our goal, like we're talking about earlier, is that they can be told, that they can become safe enough to be left. So they could be in a feedback loop with their partners who, without their partners feeling threatened. We've been talking to one guy for months, and after 22 years, he's safe enough to be left. So we have to think of change from the point of view of the survivors. Mm. Sometimes that's the first thing that they need.
Mm. Has there ever been a time when you feel, geez, there's something we have to do here? This is anonymous, but, you know, trace a call or, you know, which of course would destroy that trust people have.
We thought long and hard with our advisory board, who's filled with people from queer community, Black, Indigenous people of color, youth. We talked to folks in community about what they needed before we set it up. And everyone was clear that they wouldn't call if it weren't anonymous and confidential.
Yeah.
And that's really different than the other countries. In fact, one woman survivor called and said, no one in our family is calling you if you're connected to the police because we might die. So our relationship to interventions like that is really different than other countries.
Right.
So you'd think that would create more danger, but it actually creates more space for people to be truthful. I've talked to a very, very dangerous person who, hey, in this lifetime, I don't think he's going to be reliably safe. He's in our system of control. He's facing charges. He's already done time. He's got a bracelet on. I asked, why would you call? And he got really quiet and said, what I've been doing is wrong, and nobody knows the whole truth. And my lawyer said, don't ever tell anyone the whole truth. We don't have spaces where people could come to terms.
Yeah.
And that's what we're doing. And in fact, if there were something imminent, we're the interrupter. We could de-escalate. If you called us in the middle of being ready to strangle your partner, you got out your phone and you're like 1-877, you're de-escalating, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And then we can carry that forward.
It's 877-898-3411. That's Jack Patrici, co-founder of this Call for Change hotline for domestic abusers. And Jack, we only have a few seconds here. I mentioned that you are a survivor yourself. As much as you want to say, how much has this helped you?
Well, if I think back, there's millions of people like me who were a kid hiding in the bottom of the closet, listening to their mom scream. And so what else am I going to do with my life but help change the conditions so that's not happening? So this is what I'm meant to do.
That's Jack Patrici, co-founder of Call for Change, the hotline for domestic abusers, the first and only in the country so far. Other states are getting on board. We'll have all the information at hearnow.org. And also, thank you, Michelle Harris, coordinator of the program and a counselor on the lines. Jack, Michelle, thank you both so much.
So glad to be here today.
Thank you.